Yoma. It's obvious that
the Torah of a particular time gives you some sense of the essence of the time and some depth. The sefer that deals very specifically with Ma'adim is the Maral. Most of his chiburim are Anyan Tovim. The one on the Megillah is Or Chodesh. It's a full-length sefer. I mean, so even though we're only going to learn a little bit of it, but still, we thank you very much. Could I just push it to be a little bit Tayyim and the Inyanim of the Yoyim? Bechlal, we always speak about the importance of it. The Amshin of a Rebbe told my son, I went with him, one of my children, before his bar mitzvah. He told me to learn with him the Inyanim of Tefillin, the Gemara, because it gives a person a kesher nafshi with the mitzvahs. So, especially Purim, where the mitzvahs are kind of nebulous and not always a person fully conscious, learning some of the Inyanim of the Inyanim gives a person a sense and a depth of it. We're holding in the middle of the Hakdamah to Or Chodesh is the Maral Sefer on the Megillah. He literally goes through it from pretty much beginning to the end of the Megillah. And Kedarka B'Kodesh, sometimes he speaks more specific Inyan, sometimes he goes off. I mean, that's the Maral's Derech. That's his Mahala. We were holding in the middle, and the best of all gatekeepers, I think we're holding in an Aleph, in the middle of a Maimon Chazal. Let's back up a little bit and just explain. The Maimon Chazal is a famous Gemara that says, Haman Minatoyer Minayin, it says Amina Eitz, Mordechai and Esther Minatoyer Minayin, Moshe Minatoyer Minayin. Basically, he explains that big things have a Sheirish in the Torah. And meaning, let's give it just a dugma for that. Let's say a person wants to plans to build a big hall, a big base medrash. So on the main plans, it makes sense that the important elements of the base medrash are there. The layout, the beams, the windows, and where the furniture, you kind of give an idea where the furniture would stand and so on. A particular screw that you need to put in a particular beam doesn't need to be there because that's already ancillary and it's not part of the main plan itself. There are certain inyanim that are picked to be in the Torah. Those inyanim that are picked to be in the Torah are obvious, extremely core inyanim, whereas other things are just ancillary. So the inyanim, so when it says Moshe Rabbeinu HaTorah Minayin, he explains why did be a havamina that somebody like Moshe shouldn't be in the Torah. I mean, I think we saw last time, if not mistaken. He speaks about Haman, because Haman was a daig of Ra that was very, very intrinsically Ra. It wasn't Ra that was kind of a mikra, somebody's lazy, somebody's tired, you know, it's Ra that happens just as an after effect. And that's why he's associated with Mina Eitz Hadas, with the Nachash, and so on. Now he speaks of Mordechai and Esther. It's Nun Aleph on the right-hand side towards the bottom. The Esther Nirmaz Veloshna Noichi Haste Aster. Esther in the Torah 9 says Noichi Haste Aster. Veloma Kosov Shnei Astaris. Why is it two Astaris? Rak. Ki Hester Rishon Sheyetachas Malchus Achashverosh Shei Mishubodim Loi. The first Hester was they were under Achashverosh's reign. Ve Yoisim is Etachas Haman. And Haman was behind the scenes. Sakadosh Baruch Hu was hidden by Achashverosh. And who was hidden by Haman, or Haman was hidden within the fold. It says, there'll come a time it'll be haster aster. So Esther is keneged the dag of Hester shel Hester. The kivn shebi mei Haman haye kan Hester to Hester. So now he is going to explain a lot more about Esther and her midah, connected the midah of Ra that has to ask them. By and large, let's explain what he's trying to say. When we say something is haster aster, when we say that something is a very, very difficult, it's very hidden type of Ra, so the Pashta Pshat is that it's difficult to get at it. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's behest upon him, So it's difficult to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's hidden. That's the sense of Hasta Hasta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't pay attention to us, and so on. The sense that he's going to explain, and it fits with his sense of everything else, is that this is a very deep midah of Ra, and it has to be countered by a very deep midah of Toiv. He's going to explain a little bit more about deep midah of Toiv, and from that we're going to learn to the Ra. So let's first see that. The midah of tznius is hester without gili. Now, let's explain this a little bit outside. It's a Yusei the Maral says in a lot of places. Let's take one place where he says it. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he tried to separate the two people fighting, and the person said, "Alargeni ata Oimer," like you killed the Mitzri. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "You know, I now understand why Klal Yisrael deserves this punishment, because there's dilturim in Klal Yisrael." So the first pshat of dilturim means lashon hara. People ratted on me. People gave it away. Doesn't say they ratted. So the Maral says dilturim means people talk about it. It says vayitmineo b'chayil. Chayil is something that's very quiet. It covers everything up quietly. Dilturim is the opposite of vayitmineo b'chayil. That's the way the Maral explains it. Klal Yisrael's midah should have been like choil, and it's dilturim. Let's understand what that means, mitzad, the midas, and so on. A person's personality comes with different layers. If the person's field of enterprise lies on his outermost layer, then we say that that person is a very shallow person. For instance, let's say somebody needs to be hired for an important job, and the person is preparing himself. He's worried about, the only thing he's worried about is what he's going to wear for the interview, and does it look right on him, and so on and so forth. So you say to yourself, you know, it's important. Obviously, if you turn somebody off in the way you look, it's not good, but this job calls for responsibility, and it calls for knowledge and skills and so on and so forth. What do you think all that's going? The outermost level of the personality, if the person's ikimitzius is there, then it's a very low level. It's chitzonius. If a person, whenever he does something, he goes around and tells everybody, you know, I did this yesterday, I did this here, I did this there. It's not a question of gaiva, as much as the whole metzias of the person is external. Everything is for the outermost shell, and there's nothing inside. The way in which the structure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up everything in the world, including his own yachas to the world, is that whatever is bifnim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever is bechutz is a levush. Anything, the further out you go from the core, the less significant it is. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ocheinato Keil B'Mistate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the hidden nekuda inside the world. The neshama is the hidden nekuda inside the person. And the more you go to the outer layer of the person, the further away you are from neshama. That's the way a person works. So, if the person's emphasis is on diburim, a person doesn't survive without talking about it. If he davened bikavana, then he has to tell everybody davened bikavana. Not even as gaiva, but without talking about it, he doesn't have satisfaction. It means that his level of metzias, his level of who he is and what he is most external. As the person goes deeper into himself, the person becomes more and more. He becomes more in tune with his self, and b'meila, he doesn't need to do it with the chutz. In the lashon of Sfarim of Pnim, the Ra is called Chitzoinim, outsiders. Exterior ones is actually the right way of saying it. Klipa is the shell. It says that the Eitz Pri should have been, the Klipa should have been the Tam of the Pri, and it sinned that it wasn't. The Pri is the innermost part of the tree. The Pri covers the Gar'in, the seed is, so to speak, the core of the tree, and the fruit surrounds the core of the tree. So that is the Tam of the Pri, lies in the innermost part of it. It should have been, had the world been Ketikunai, there would be no Chutz, because the Chutz would also be Bifnim. But because the world was Chayta, the Klipa is an outside, tasteless, lifeless part of it. It's got a very different Metzias. So the Chelek and the Briah that's called Ra, the Chelek that we call Ra is called Klipa, it's called Chitzoin, it has all of those marks of things that are not Pnimius. That is the difference between Chutz and Pnim. So in general, anytime you have a yachas of chutz to pnim, pnim is the important, the significant, the atzmius, and the chutz is less and less. It says the marshal that Eretz Yisrael is the middle of all the aratzos, the emtza ha'olam. It means that that's the core, and everything else is chutz. In koyches hanefesh, a person, there's a midah toiva called in lashon kodesh, and like most nice things, it's in lashon kodesh and it's in Yiddish, and in English, it's hard to find a good translation. In lashon kodesh, we would call it adinus or adinus hanefesh. In Yiddish, we would call it edelkeit, and in English, we're stuck. We call it refined, aristocratic, subtle, I think is not a bad word at all. But somebody who is coarse or vulgar, besides the coarseness means there's something rough and external about it. He, instead of asking for something quietly in voice and sort of understated, and Beremiza, the person lays it out, Halitaini nomin adam adam azeh. Instead of saying, may I join, you come in and you see eating a meal. So a person says, I'd love to put my teeth into that steak. That's one way of expressing yourself. Another way is saying, may I join you? And it's a big difference. Or the person can walk by and wait for someone to call him in and invite him. And different levels of how much the person is willing to be vulgar, coarse, and again, I'm not sure quite what the opposite of that is. Maybe some of our educated people will tell, but it's very hard to find the famous word with Satmarov. Satmarov was very much against the more modern Zionism in Ivrit, so a chassid of his once became Mizrahi, and he brought his son for a bracha. So, but he told the Rebbe that my son speaks only Ivrit. So he asked him, so he said, good. So he said, he said, I want to give you bracha, you should be Erlich Yid. And he asked the kid, how do you say Erlich Yid in Ivrit? So the kid thought, and he said, Ein kaze davar b'Ivrit. So the Rebbe said, very true. You know, it's hard to find the word edel. To ask for something subtly, quietly, understated, that is a midah tova. It's an extraordinary midah tova. In Yiddish, also in Kodesh, it's something that describes an extraordinarily important part of a person's personality. The closest word in English is a pejorative, timid, which is doesn't reflect an edelkeit, it reflects a lack of ability to assert yourself, not an edelkeit. So what is that midah tova? A person wears, I remember when I was engaged, one of my sister-in-laws went to pick out a ring for my kala at the time. I wasn't terribly big bucky, and she brought along a little kid, was five at the time, very sweet boy, and the person lays out all the rings, And she's looking, my sister's looking for something very delicate and so on. And the kid sees, you never see those rings you get in a bubble gum machine, the big one with a pirate's head on it, you know, the one that you could like basically kill somebody with it if you tried hard. He says, wow, this is the biggest one, let's get that one. And it's true, as far as the kid was concerned, the bigger the better. It's big, bold, and I don't remember what it was, but it was vulgar, was an understatement for that one. And he liked it because it was big, that's the way it's called. An older person says, when a person tells you a story, and the Musa Haskell is very, very apparent and overstated, it turns you off. If a person tells you a story and there's a hint of you dehair the Musa within the story, there's something beautiful about it. Same thing with flavors and tastes. When the taste is big and heavy and thick, so one type of person enjoys it. When there's a subtle hint of a flavor, when it has a delicateness to it, that's another type of person enjoys. It's not just a finicky kind of, you know, etiquette type of thing. It speaks volumes of where the person's metzias is. For the person whose metzias is on the outside, if I don't tell you very clearly, haliteini namina adam adam azeh, I haven't expressed myself. Because my whole expression lies in the coarseness of it, in the fullness of it, in the vulgarity of it. And it's the thicker, the heavier, the more megushim it is. Something that's not megushim, I'm not happy with it. It's like when you buy something flimsy. Let's say a person wants to buy a hammer. So you don't look for a delicate hammer. You look for a hammer that's really tough and strong and big, and you feel the solidity of it, because it's called kulei chomer. When you're looking at something made out of silver, if silver filigree has a beauty to it because the lines are thin and delicate, and you get a lot of tzura with a minimum of chomer. So that's the yachas between the two. So pnim and chutz are the yachas between tzura and chomer in mitzad the koyach nefesh of a person. The hagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are hester anocha asta asta ponai. So obviously there's an anger at Klal Yisrael, but it means that in order for Klal Yisrael to do tshuva, they have to reach out to a very pnimistic in the kudah. It's not the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is playing hard to get, and that's it. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzias is in the very pnimius of the pnimius. That's where I find it. You're right. When there's open, when everything's open, I open up a siddur, I say Mashiach Moed HaGeshem, the rain comes, that's that. When it's hidden and hester, it means I've got to find it within the within of it. So the person connected was Esther, and that's the midah of Tznius. Tznius is a midah where the person recoils at that which is overt, at that which is demonstrative, at that which is coarse. That's the midah of Tznius. Esther, from the fact, was a nista built in nigla. And we'll see maybe later a little bit, it comes from Binyamin. It says the midah of Binyamin was that he was the most covered. He was still an Uber when they met Esav and so on. And that's where Lekar get first ganka makam alin is the Bisham Yesh Bittel Lekaya Haman. There's another Nikuda in the fight with Ra between the Hester and the Chutz. If a person needs to express himself klape chutz to gain a metzias, in other words, if the person feels satisfied with what he has only when he stands up to the other person and sticks his tongue out to him, you know, this is what I think and this is the way it should be and that's that, then the other person has a shlita over him. For instance, if a person protests that he wants to be able to wear a yarmulke even in a church, it's not fair. Or even or they had demonstrations in university and in your face, I'm going to show you that I'm a Jew and I'm a proud Jew and so on and so forth. Really what he's saying is that I have a need. My only mitzvah of being a Jew is in your face. I don't feel. But if the pshat is, I don't need your approval, or this, it b'chal doesn't touch me. Whereas I'm sitting over my Gemara, and that's that. Then you have very little shlita over me. There is very little shlita over the pnimius. When if you can't bait somebody, if the person's b'chal in your arena, you have the world of the newspaper and television to yourself. I have the base medrash to myself. Then there's no makom tfisa. The umas ha'olam and even the worst of them, they can only affect klai so up to a certain point, because in pnimius we're more pnimi than they are. So if our metzias is the metzias pnimiistic, then Rav Shach used to say always as a marshal when he spoke about, he was trying to explain the difference between we reacted to the anti-Semites and the way the more nationalistic type of people. He said, when we saw the Goyim in Europe, he said, we looked at them like mad dogs. You know, you just make sure to close the door, they shouldn't come in. But it wasn't a fight. In other words, his calling me a dirty Jew or something lowlife except when he put me in Sakana. But I did not have to exist in his arena. I wasn't interested in having it out with him on the dog's turf, because my turf is not the same turf as the dog. So he says, that shows that Esther is the one that's goyel from the hest upon him. When Kaiser was in a gullus of hest upon him, the gula had to come from someone that reached in those places, and you reach in there when you are in that level. So you need someone who lives with that sense of subtlety and pnimius, that he can touch base on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to shout from Har Sinai for him to hear and be heard. A remez ba'alma, a remiza, a whisper, is enough to give it. V'kach mordechai shenos oloshen v'somim roish hakosav etzak teiris mir ala hesta. The Mordechai, it says, is from Somrish. Kakteris who nista kashiyadua shahoyu makteris on lefnai lefim yom kippur. First of all, you see, kteris can go in lefnai lefim. Now, kteris has a metzias pnimius. Ubishayim ois hashan loy makteris oikimam mezbeach bifnim. Kashay makteris mezbeach oy porshim in azora. Kashay kteris chashay. It says nobody could be inside when it was kteris, because the metzias kteris is bechashay. Also, when you burn fat and even oil, there's some sort of sounds and so on. When you smoke ipsomim and so on, it's quiet. V'chein omer al k'teiris yoved davar shebechashai shua k'teiris v'yichap al davar shebechashai lashon hara u'mizeh tovin ki este basug de Mordechai shenikal shei mora dochya v'advor meila mukimoid v'efshel fara sheisa. So obviously that's the Zelumaseh. And I mean, obviously these are the type of things that are mukim b'yoyse. And yes, kasho yisrael b'este ponim ha-shem esporach roi sha-goyel mordechai v'este she-maikim b'tfilosam l'anista. That's the sort of an end, I guess, to an akuda, to a point. So basically he's saying is, when the tkufa of golos is not marked by an absence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's marked by a subtlety of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's what makes the Golos so difficult is because you have to be on a much higher darga to get in touch with it, because it's subtle. And it's something, I guess, it's almost a midat taiva that is hard even to give over, because like we said, we don't have a word for it. It's nogea from big things to small things to what we consider minor things. How much does a person talk of himself? How much is it important for a person that is mice and be public? how much does he live with the sense of public, and how much does he live with a delicate sense of remes? I always tell over there the, when my, I mean, my father's Rein Avracha, his whole house, his whole Messiris, where he came from, was everything was never stated mefurish. Everything was always alluded to. The subtler the allusion was, the better it was stated. To say something out loud smacked almost of nivel peh. But I remember when Reb Nachum was nifta, I was teaching Eshet Torah in the morning, I didn't know about it. I came to my father's house to eat lunch, and as soon as he saw me, he realized that I didn't know yet. So, I mean, to tell somebody, Gemara says you shouldn't. And so he asked me, like, very offhandedly, were you in the yeshiva yet this morning? He knew I wasn't in yeshiva that morning because I come to Eshet Torah. So that was... I was almost as mefurish a statement as could be. Well, obviously it means there was a reason why you should be in the yeshiva this morning, and there's a reason why I'm telling it to you, and something must have happened, and what could be, and it's obviously something that we're not going to talk about. It's obviously something that you have some clue about it. I mean, you know, it needed to be understood, and that was the way he spoke. Somebody that needed to be spoken to mefurish, he wouldn't talk to, because there was something very, very gross about it. The Slabodka Chinuch was that someone told me that in the Mir, where Birchum used to walk up and down the aisles during parts of Seder to keep an eye on things, and the way he called somebody over to talk to was he would look at you. He looked at you and then he walked on. That was a simon that he wanted to talk to you. There wasn't, you know, he's not going to come over and say, could you please come out? I mean, he looked at you, so that it means something. There's a world where a person lives where things are, everything is as subtle as can be. It's a midah that's no, if your feelings are pneumistic, then your expression is pneumistic. Your whole metzias lies in the hester. It's not that you hide from the world, but your natural nekud is in the pnim shebe pnim. So the Haman was a ra that came from a very deep mucker. Then Hagav HaKadosh Baruch at that time was very behester because Kaz Adon Averis, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdrew Kaviyachol to a very pneumistic in the Kuda, to a place that's not tainted by Averis. Averis can't reach that far. And Bimela, the person who saved Kal Yisrael, was somebody with that midah. Esther and Mordechai, each in his own way, had that Nekuda. The midah of tznius, in its broad sense, is that the person, it's not that you hide something, it's that you don't live on the plane where you need to display things. That's already, you don't live in the chutz of things. You live in the pnim of things. That's really the teichon of tznius. And mainly everything else follows along with it. Okay, hold it here.